So I, what I see is that we want to build inclusive and collaborative communities. We want to make the communities equitable.
Hi, this is Ike Evans of the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health, and you are listening to Into the Fold. The Hogg Foundation is a strategic grant maker based at the University of Texas at Austin. To learn more, visit us at hogg.utexas.edu. Collaboration has emerged as a dominant theme of the Hogg Foundation's new strategic direction. This spring, the Hogg Foundation opened a request for proposals for a new grant program called Collaborative Approaches to Well-being in Rural Communities. This initiative aims to support rural communities in their efforts to collaboratively and inclusively transform the environments where people live, learn, work, play, and pray, to support resilience, mental health, and well-being. We recently selected five grantees in five rural communities, Bastrop, Brooks, Morris, Nacogdoches, and Victoria counties. But before we dive any further into this topic, here is a sample of what we've already said about it.
There isn't one rural, just like there isn't one urban. And so you have to, I think one of the things that's going to be important for Hogg is to understand that while there will be collective learning from each of the five rural sites that you've chosen, all five of those places are different, and they're a different, each one of them are a different part of rural Texas.
That was Dennis Mohat, a former member of our National Advisory Council and an authority on rural mental health, on what it takes to effectively reach rural communities.
Number one, we were looking for places where there was a strong hope to make change. And so I think that having that, we see that in each of these communities, and we're excited to be a part of that. I mean, I think it's so just cool to think that we can be there learning alongside them as they figure out how to make this work and how to make their communities healthier.
That was Tammy Hines, a program officer at the Hogg Foundation, on what this initiative means for the future of our work as a foundation. And now, the third in our Rural Health Trilogy.
We selected an organization to play the pivotal role of coordinating this initiative. Alliance for Greater Works is a nonprofit organization whose entire focus is facilitating collaborative partnerships to benefit under-resourced communities. Based in Grand Prairie, Texas, they previously served as coordinator of our African American faith-based initiative, this time with funding amounting to $2.4 million over 3 years. They will coordinate with the five rural counties we have chosen to pilot this new grant-making strategy. Alliance for Greater Works founder and CEO Sherry Willis is here with us to talk about her team's role in making this new initiative a success. Sherry, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Ike.
So we have already said quite a bit about this new grant initiative and its focus on rural communities. Understanding the goals of the initiative, from your point of view, what are we trying to accomplish, and what do you see as your role in that?
So, Ike, what I see is that we want to build inclusive and collaborative communities. We want to make the communities equitable. And I see my role as being a facilitator of the work, to go in and build relationships with the lead organizations as well as the community.
Yeah.
I see that we will be an integral part, sort of like the hub, where we will be working closely with the communities, with the Hogg Foundation, as well as the evaluation team. So I'm very excited to be a part of this project.
And so tell us about your organization, its work with historically excluded groups of people, and why it is that you are so well positioned to be the coordinator for this new initiative.
Alliance for Greater Works was founded 17 years ago. I founded it just out of wanting to find my purpose in life. And I had always worked in the nonprofit sector, but I wanted to do something that was more meaningful. I was raised in rural community, in low-income community, and I've always had a heart for working in community, not just being at an administrative level, but truly getting amongst the people. And so Alliance for Greater Works' mission is to strengthen and position leaders and organizations to transform under-resourced communities. We accomplish our mission through leadership and community development training, consulting, and collaborative solutions.
Yeah.
And we've worked in many, many communities, not only in Texas, but beyond. We've worked in Kansas City, in Missouri, the state of Missouri. We worked on the island of Bermuda, doing work with marginalized communities. So we are very committed to serving those that are in low-income, under-resourced, marginalized communities.
Okay. And we have been very intentional to set an expectation with the five grantees about the value of including community members and groups of people who have historically been excluded.
Mm-hmm.
In all sorts of ways, but certainly from decisions that impact their well-being.
Yes.
How do you intend to work with each of the five communities on outreach to ensure that all the right people, including those who are often overlooked, are included in the process?
Well, my work in working in community, as well as using different processes such as the collective impact process, is there is something that we do in that process to ensure that we're thinking about everyone in the community and how these issues impact community.
Yeah.
So we basically go through a process where we meet with the lead organization in the community. And as we're making decisions, we'll say, who should be at the table that's not at the table today? And how can we get them to the table? So we're going to be doing that as we go through this entire process, making sure that we're thinking of everyone that should be at the table, is at the table, and finding a way to get them there that they can become a part of this process as well as community.
Related to that, community-based participatory research is mm-hmm. going to be a big part of this grant.
Yes.
Can you say more about what that is and why it matters?
Well, that is such an important component of this work, because what we are going to do is we're going to ask the community to participate in making decisions for their community. We're not here to take over. We're not going into the community thinking that we know all that we need to know about the community, but rather we're going to ask them to be participants in this process. In the research. And we also want to be able that at the end of this program, we have developed them to the point that they can take over the work that needs to be done, that they don't need me as a facilitator to do the work,
yeah.
but they can do the work themselves.
There's a sizable amount of funding set aside for training,
mm-hmm.
for technical assistance,
mm-hmm.
And for evaluation,
yes.
Perhaps most importantly.
Yes.
And you're going to be coordinating their work as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what qualifications and perspectives do you most value in the people who we have tapped for these crucial roles?
You know, one of the key components of this program is what's the evaluation team.
Yeah.
And I'm very honored and feel blessed that we will be working with the Susan Wolf and Associates for our evaluation piece. And what I love most about her evaluation process is that she believes in going into a community and, you know, while she has the skill, she doesn't use her skill to get the information, but she utilizes cultural humility
right.
of going in and learning and understanding and seeking to know from their point of view, and not telling them what they need to do, but trying to understand better where they are and doing, you know, doing what's best for the community and not for, you know, them. So I love it that we've already identified our evaluation team, and the people that we will be working with must have the skill as well as that cultural humility as they go into these communities. That's what I'll be looking for.
So as I mentioned, your organization was previously the coordinator of our faith-based initiative.
Yes.
Which is soon to be closing out.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from that experience that will help you be successful again this time around?
You know, when I think about that, I think about the fact that all of the churches, the 10 churches that we worked with, were in marginalized communities, pretty
right.
much. And so what I learned and continue to learn as I work in community, that it's first about relationship building. It's about building community and just sitting with someone and having the time to visit and talk and know what their heart is and you know, understand that we're all people at the end of the day and that we want to connect. So that's what I'm going to take with me into this project, is just spending the time to get to know the lead organization leaders as well as the community.
Okay. So the word collaboration is widely used in mm-hmm. our society. I think what people often really mean is cooperation.
Yes.
Collaboration is something beyond that mm-hmm. In the way that we use it. So to that point, what do we mean when we talk about collaboration and collaboratives, for that matter, in the context of this project? What do you consider to be some of the most important aspects of doing collaborative work that are too easily overlooked that you're going to try to bring to the forefront?
Sure. You know, one of the things, and I agree with you, collaboration is used so interchangeably with cooperation or coordination.
Right.
But collaboration is really hard work. But the uniqueness about what we're going to be doing in these communities is systems change. We're not just looking at programs and social services, but we're actually going to the root causes of why are these issues occurring in community, and what can we do at the systems level to change this situation. So that's the uniqueness of what we're going to be focusing on is systems thinking and systems change.
Okay. So to our listeners, if you would like to learn more about what we're doing to support well-being in rural communities, check out the collaborative approaches to well-being in rural communities link on the Hogg Foundation homepage. You might also be interested in our recent podcast with Dennis Mohad. He's an expert on mental health in rural communities and a former member of the Hogg Foundation National Advisory Council. Dennis is Vice President for Behavioral Health at the Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education. You can find that episode at hogg.utexas.edu just by clicking on podcast under the news and resources section. Sherry, thank you so much for taking the time to illuminate us on your coordinator role and to give us a sneak preview at the kind of work that you're going to be doing with our grantees and also for us. We really appreciate it.
I'm excited, and thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for joining us.